Good morning and welcome back to a brand new episode of Motherhood on Mondays with me, your host, Jessica Olsom. Hey guys, welcome back. How is 2024 going for you guys? I can't believe that we're already in March, and I keep telling my husband this year is just going to fly by. I feel like my 30s has been just like a big coming to realize how fast the years go by, because they're just flying by. But today is actually the day before my 32nd birthday. I turn 32 tomorrow, and I'm really excited about it. But we actually just got back from our anniversary trip, our 10-year anniversary. And if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, or actually 2 weeks ago, because I have another podcast going up before this one, I talk about the one big thing that caused the most issues in my marriage over the last 10 years. And it might not be what you think, but me and my husband, we took a trip on our 10-year anniversary, and our grandparents, the boys' grandparents, gracefully took the boys for 5 days. And so we just got the boys back today. And while we were about to go on this trip, I had this thought for this podcast today. And I didn't get the moment to record it until now. But over the weekend, right before we went on our trip, we had my car start to make some noises. And, you know, I think that's like any millennial's fear, is hearing your car make like a noise, because you're like, is this a, like, change the oil and like it'll be fine type of noise? Or is this like a noise that's going to bankrupt me? And so it made us really nervous. But my husband's like, I'll just go, I'll drop it off. And my in-laws were like, still take the trip, just don't think about it. And so we put the car out of our minds and we went on our trip. And it's funny because the whole topic I'm about to tell you guys what it's about, it kind of can revolve around this car scenario, and I'll explain to you guys why after I finish the story. So we hadn't heard anything back, and they had told us, like, we're gonna look at it when we get an opening for it. So they never called us. So today I finally was like, okay, Thomas, like, should we call? What should we do? And Thomas called, and I was working inside, and then he came back inside and was like, well, I hope you don't mind. You can drive a big truck, right? And I was like, that's kind of weird why he would ask that, because my husband's truck is very big. It's just a full-size truck, and it's not my favorite vehicle to drive. I was like, huh? Like, yeah. And he's like, well, he basically went on to say my car is not fixable, and that basically it has like a knocked rod, or a rod is knocked. I don't know what that means in car lingo. Basically, it's not worth it to fix my car. And, you know, I was really bummed. And I was like, oh, I could just cry. But we had to, like, still go and pick up the kids. And I was telling him in the car, you know, I'm choosing to thank God for, you know, protecting us in some way. Or God's going to provide. And, you know, like, maybe my car would have blown up if I was driving it. Or maybe God was giving my husband wisdom to take it in. And so we had this scenario, and I kind of thought it was interesting, because today's podcast, I wanted to talk about three words that I don't use in my vocabulary anymore, and it kind of applies to the story about the car and how we handled it with our perspective. And so growing up, my parents were really, really strict with how we used our words and what came out of our mouths. They were always like, we weren't allowed to say things that to a lot of people you would probably think, like, that's not that big of a deal. Like, why can't you express yourself that way? My parents wouldn't let us say pretty much anything with, like, a negative connotation to it. And as a child, I found it very silly because we weren't allowed to use like any words of like exasperation. Like we couldn't say dang it, or we couldn't say that sucks, or, you know, we couldn't say any, like, really, like, you know, when you're upset and you just like want to say, oh man, like, you know, or like, oh dang it. Like my parents did not, they were very strict with the words that we used. We couldn't curse ever. And as a child, I did not get it and I did not understand. Like we weren't allowed to say like the word hate or like I hate you, even though it came out mouths. And growing up, I didn't really understand why they were so strict with words as a parent. And now, now that I'm an adult, I have a lot better of an understanding about it. And so I thank my parents for that insight. But the three words that kind of go with that and why I kind of took that from my parents is I do not say these three little words. It's just hard. I don't say those three words. They're not in my vocabulary and I don't say them. And at first glance, you're probably thinking like, those aren't bad words. Those aren't negative words. Those aren't necessarily anything super surprising or off the charts. They're not a swear word, but they are three little words that I do not allow to come out of my mouth. And so I want to explain to you the reason why I don't say those three little words. And something that is very important, something that my parents realized, is that the words that come out of our mouths and the words that we say to ourselves and speak out into the world, they have a really, really heavy weight to them. And in today's world, people are very careless with their words. And I was definitely the child that grew up with a very careless mouth. I would say whatever came to my mind and I would comment on everything. And I was very like much wanted to be silly. And I was a girl that was always getting in trouble because Jessica would talk to a wall. And my dad was always getting on me for my mouth because he's like, no, that's not okay. You need to control the words that come out of your mouth. You need to have self-control. You don't need to comment on everything. And you know, there's lots of phrases that would come out of my mouth as a child, like, I know, Dad. And my dad would say, no, you don't know. Or, you know, I would just say random things, like, and my dad would be like, Jessica, you do not need to comment on everything. And as Christians, we do not put enough like weight, and we don't measure our words as carefully as we should. And words carry a heavy weight, but what we don't realize is that the words that are coming out of our mouth, the words we are speaking constantly that our ears are hearing, those affect things like who we think God is, what we're saying we believe about who God is in our lives, and they're also shaping our hearts and our minds, and they impact our perspective about life and our faith and who we put our trust in. And a couple years ago, I actually had this shift in perspective about hard and the purpose of hard in our lives. And there's always going to be people that say, well, I need to be honest. I should be able to be honest about something just being hard. And my parents were always very specific in how we vocalized words, because they can either point your heart towards trusting in God, or they can point you to grumbling and complaining. And so while yes, we want to be honest, and yes, God already knows what is in our minds and in our hearts, I think that we also have to be careful in how we realize words, where they're pointing us to. And so for me, a couple years ago, I came to this point in my life. There was a lot of really hard things happening in my life, and everything was just hard. I came to this realization, there is always going to be hard things happening in my life, but by constantly saying it's just so hard, I wasn't actually putting faith and trust in God, And I was giving myself this area in my life of where I had become relaxed in my discipline of having faith and trusting that God was going to be the provider in my life, and that God's plan ultimately was the best for me, even if it was hard. And so I got to this position of where I realized how I'm phrasing these honest moments of like a scenario, they're actually affecting how I'm thinking, and they're actually affecting my perspective on these things. I began to dig into like more deeper of how phrasing things in my life, how it positioned my heart towards God or away from God, and what those phrases said about who I believed God was in my life. Because the more you speak little things, the more those things get reinforced in your life. And when we were living in a camper that was really tiny, when we were trying to remodel our house and everything was hard and not a single thing was happening the way I wanted it to, I got to this point where I was like, do I believe that God is sovereign? Yes. Do I believe that God does everything for my good? Yes. So if the things that are in my life right now are hard, is God still working for my good? Yes. Then I must believe that these things that God has ordained to happen in my life right now that are hard are good things for me. And that's part of the issue with the word hard, is that culturally in America, anything that is hard, labeled as hard, is labeled as negative and something that we should avoid. And it's really a disservice to us as Christians, because it's not actually in the Bible that our life should be easy. In fact, the Bible says to rejoice in every circumstance. Again, I say rejoice, and to rejoice in the hardships. In fact, the world says expect to be hated. So why are we walking around with this idea that things shouldn't be hard? So it's not really a biblical perspective. And so I got to this point of where I was like, okay, by me saying it's just hard, it's never connected to me putting more faith in God or me trusting in God. It's always linked to me venting to a friend. It's always me linked to complaining about things not going my way. And this is actually not building up my faith. It's actually just me wanting to take this easy way out of just complaining about wanting my life to be easier. And that's actually not biblical. And it's actually me in ways saying that, like, God, I don't think you are sovereign over my life. God, I don't actually think you are big. And so for me, I realized for me in my faith, saying it's just hard was actually not something that was growing me in my faith, but it was actually putting this like slice of pie in my faith that was giving me this little sliver in my life where I was not submitting to God and what the Bible says God is over my life. So I was lacking in faith, I was lacking in trust, and I wasn't actually doing the tough work of walking out sanctification. I was grumbling and I was kind of moaning under that thumb of hardship. And so for me, I changed my perspective about the word hard. And the first thing I changed about that was hard. The word hard is very similar to the word sanctification. And that oftentimes growth doesn't happen in our easy seasons, it happens in our hard. And so that hugely changed my view about hard. And so that was a huge change in my life about why I stopped using it's just hard to describe when I was talking to people about things that were going on. Now, does that mean that I'm not honest when something is feeling hard to me? No, but it means that I phrase it differently. And so that way, when I'm talking with people and I need to talk about a situation that is hard, what I'll generally say, and I'm sure there's a million different ways you could phrase this, I say, I'm having a hard time with this. But I don't phrase it in a way that is saying, well, it's just hard because, you know, this, this, and this. I generally will just say, I'm having a hard time. But, and I leave it at that. I'm having a hard time. But God is good. And I reinforce it with, I know God is going to provide. And the reason why I wanted to link it back to the car situation is with the car situation of the car breaking down and us losing money and me not having a car, I could just say to a friend, it's just so hard. And like, yes, and I'm not saying that you can't say those words, but for me, I removed those words and now I've replaced it with looking at what God is either doing for me or what God is protecting me from or what is the lesson in this moment. And so instead of just leaving at, it's just hard, and then leading to complaining, I'm saying, I'm having a hard time, or this is hard, but thank you, God, for protecting me. Thank you, God, for giving my husband the wisdom. And I'm not allowing that statement of hardship to then lead me down a road to complaining. And I'm not allowing my brain to reestablish a connection, because the more you say things, the more that connection is made in your brain. And so for me, by removing the phrase, it's just hard, and replacing it with either, I'm having a hard time, but I trust God anyways. I know God will provide for me. And could you say, it's just hard, but I know God's going to provide? Yes, you could. But for me, I have found the statement of honesty of, I am having a hard time. It's me saying, like, I am having a hard time, but I'm not actually talking about this circumstance. So I'm saying, me, I am having a hard time. I'm not saying necessarily the statement about the circumstance, because I can recognize now that I might not understand the purpose fully of the circumstance, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about all the what ifs or, you know, what, you know, all the hardships here. I'm going to trust that even if that is a hard circumstance, that I'm going to reinforce the pattern in my mind of, ultimately, I trust God. I know He's sovereign. And now this circumstance is, yeah, it can be hard, but I'm not viewing hard as bad. I'm viewing hard as, this could be either a sanctification moment, this could be a learning moment, or this could be a God protecting me moment. So it's not hard associated with bad. It's hard associated with sanctification, a lesson, or whatever the other reason is. And I think that a lot of us give ourselves this little piece of pie in our lives where we just give ourselves that, like, one little area, you know, that is just for ourselves, that we're not really going to give to God, because we just need that one area of our flesh that we can just go to and retreat to when things are really hard, so that we can have permission to just be in our human flesh and be like, this sucks, this is awful, because we're so fickle as human beings. And so for me, changing my perspective of what hard is, but also recognizing that little phrases, and it could be many phrases in your life, it could be more than that. This is just my phrase for me that I don't say anymore. For me, saying it's just hard, it doesn't point my heart back to Jesus, but I can be honest with Jesus and say, I am having a hard time. And hard means I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling myself. But I'm not speaking about just the circumstance itself. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about the circumstance. I am having a hard time. I'm not saying, you know, it's just so hard, the circumstance. Because if God has put this circumstance in front of me, there's a reason for it. And so I wanted to share some verses that talk about how we speak and how we talk and the words that we use. And I think there's just so many powerful ways that words are in our lives that we don't realize, and we don't realize because we don't think it's a big deal, But then when you like dive into just three little words, you're like, oh, actually, there's a lot more to this than just three little words. It's affecting my mind and it's affecting my heart. It's affecting my faith and it's affecting who I'm putting my trust in, even though it seems so small and so insignificant. So some of those verses I want to share with you guys is, let me find them here. I have them all in my notes app. And, can I even find them? Oh, here we go. So Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So, you know, when you have anxiety in your heart, you feel really weighed down. And this is a good example of a good word makes it glad. You know, if you have anxiety and then you're telling yourself more anxious things, that's not going to make your heart feel any better. But when you speak good words, it's going to make your heart glad. The things that we tell our heart are going to direct our heart. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So it's the same kind of thing with our words. What words are you dwelling on to describe your circumstances? For me, I have found if I get into a pattern of saying, it's just hard. For me, that always just leads to more complaining. And here's the thing, not everyone is going to be like me in that. Some people may be able to just say, it's just hard, and then move on and not have it be something that's really directing their heart in a negative way. But for me, that is what happens. And I've noticed in the past when I constantly have that phrase to describe circumstances, for me, it isn't honorable, it isn't right, it isn't pure, and it isn't lovely, and it isn't excellent for me. So that's something I don't want to dwell on. So this one's a little bit of a longer one, but it's Matthew 15:16-20. And Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So the portion here we're going to look at is, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. So when I was just saying, it's just hard for me, out of my heart, what that was saying, I was looking at those hard things in the wrong perspective. I was like, it's just hard. And the hard was the circumstance. And I was saying that it's bad. And for me, I wasn't putting my faith and trust in God. And for me, the more I repeated those things, the more it caused this negative part in my heart of where I wasn't trusting in God. So for me, I had to shut that down, because for me, it was causing me into an area of where I wasn't trusting in God when the circumstances were hard. And so Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And I never really understood why my parents were so specific in how they let us talk. But now as an adult, I'll see these people that haven't watched over their hearts, and they will speak, and out of their hearts just comes these like very negative things. And I'm like, my parents were really purposeful in knowing that if they didn't direct our hearts with our speech, that they were just gonna let our words carry our hearts wherever we wanted our hearts to carry us. And my parents are very diligent in directing where our hearts were going through our words. And even though a lot of the times we had bad attitudes, they always were so quick to point out why it wasn't okay and why it was taking us away from God and why it didn't honor God. And the same thing was with music, the music that we listened to. He was like, you know, that's going to defile your heart and that's going to defile your head. And we put so little emphasis on the words out of our mouth that we don't even think about it. But Proverbs 4 tells us, this is the springs of life. So what is coming out of your heart and what words are coming out that you're repeating so often that it's forming neural pathways in your head. And I listened to this person, and she has a podcast called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. And she talks about the neural pathways that get formed when you have these constant patterns. And so I think it's important to evaluate every once in a while what's coming out of our mouths and evaluate that, because that's going to let us know the state of our heart and what do we want that to look like. So Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." And this is one I really struggled with. And I'm on a real big kick about words right now and what is coming out of our mouths on my Instagram page too, because unfortunately, social media has really twisted what people think real life relationships look like. So many of us have gotten into our little bubbles of where we're constantly watching debates and opinions that we spend a lot of our times debating, and we're quick to answer people, and we just are so ready to reply and argue. And so this is another really good example of, are you guarding your mouth and what's coming out of it? And when you do that, you can guard yourself from trouble. So for me, now, if I face a hardship, now it's actually this change of where my heart is being led, because I don't allow myself to just sit and say, it's just hard. It's just difficult. It's just so hard. And now I'm saying, now I redirect it to is, man, it is a bummer that my car broke down. Lord, I'm having a hard time with this car situation. But Lord, I know you're going to provide, and I know this circumstance is to bring you glory. And I don't know more than you, God. I can't be self-sufficient on my own, Lord. And however you decide to provide a car next, I know I'm going to get to tell the story of how you worked it out for your glory. And so it's just, yeah, it's just so important. And we guard ourselves that way. So Proverbs 10:19 says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." And so, yet again, you know, when we're so quick with our words, it leads really quickly to sin. And this is something I've had to learn. And I'm someone that uses my voice a lot. And even on my Instagram, I become a lot more restrained with what I post, just because I take a really heavy weight with it. But this is also something I take in conversations with me, because I think sometimes as Christians, we just feel the need of like, well, I need to stand up for the truth. But we also have to realize the time and the place, and we have to use wisdom in how we use our words. So it's always good to have self-control. And so the last thing that kind of goes with this sentence of why I don't use the words, it's just hard, is this. Is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so I know for a lot of the silly hardships in your life that you're facing, you might not think it's that bad to say it's just hard. Or like, so like for example, tonight we're putting my kids to bed, and Benjamin didn't want to go to bed. He wanted to stay up. He didn't want to go to bed, and he was crying, and it was frustrating, and I just wanted him to go to bed because I wanted to go to sleep. And I said, instead of saying, "Oh, good, this is just hard. It's just hard." You know, I could get on my Facebook chat and talk to my friend, you know, or text a friend and say, "Benjamin didn't sleep tonight. It's just hard. It's just frustrating." And their response would probably be, you know, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Like, I hope he sleeps well tonight," right? But instead what I did was I didn't look at the situation of my kids not sleeping well as, "Oh, it's just hard. You know, like, this sucks." I was like, you know what? They have not slept in their beds in 5 days. Like, I can't imagine, you know, being away from my mom and dad for 5 days as a three-year-old, and he is in there crying. If I were trying to go to bed crying, I would probably be really stressed out. Like, you know, my cortisol levels would be really elevated, and I couldn't sleep like that. You know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to cuddle with him. I'm going to take some deep breaths. help regulate his emotions. Because you want to know what? My husband does that for me when I'm sad. When I'm sad and I'm upset and I'm crying, I'm having a hard time. You want to know what I want? I want my husband to come cuddle with me. And he immediately relaxes me and it de-stresses me. And I'm that for my child. So instead of sitting there thinking about how much this sucks, I went in there and I was able to serve my son as his mom. And you know what? He took some deep breaths and his whole body relaxed. And you know, I couldn't help but think of like, wow, God, by just eliminating the phrase, it's just hard, I was able to see more accurately into the circumstance that Benjamin was in at that moment. He was having a hard time in that circumstance. And instead of me looking at that hardship, it's just bad and negative, I got to have this kind of cool dialogue with God in my head of, oh yeah, I wouldn't be able to sleep if I was that frustrated too. And I didn't go in there frustrated. I didn't go in there telling him, you be quiet. And you know, him having more, even more heightened emotions after that, it being 10 more hours of him being able to fall asleep. I was able to go into that and actually see accurately into the situation. And instead of it being this horrible hardship, it was this like cool connecting mom moment of, I get to be this for you. I get to be that stress relief for my son. But so many moms look at that situation and they just say, it's just hard. Everything is just hard, And so for me as a mom, by eliminating that and replacing it and bolstering my faith of going back to who God is and who he is in my life and what he does for me and what hard actually means has changed my whole perspective on how I view circumstances in my life just by eliminating those three words. It's just hard. So by eliminating those things, I kind of crucified this small area in my life of where I kind of still had that flesh area going on. And, you know, I'm still honest of saying, you know, I'm having a hard time. But it has taught me to view circumstances as, instead of it's just hard and complaining, it has taught me that hard and sanctification are interchangeable at times. And sometimes hard things are for sanctification. Sometimes hard things is God protecting us. And sometimes hard things are God teaching us a lesson. So when you come up to that moment of where you're in a circumstance and you want to say, it's just hard, maybe look at it and ask yourself if you're viewing hard as a bad thing to be avoided, or if you're looking at it through the proper lens, because it will change the way you frame things in your minds, and it will change how you vocalize those things with your words. And for me, by cutting out those words and having a correct perspective about hardship, so for me now, I look at hardship as, you know, a sanctification moment, God protecting me, or there being some sort of lesson there to learn. It changes your whole heart position. And it's three little words that can either point you towards God, or it can point you towards complaining and grumbling. And so just be careful with the things that come out of your mouth. The words that we say are so important, and the things that are being repeated from our mouths are going to get put into your mind in not only a spiritual way, but in that's establishing patterns in your life that are going to be hard to break. So what are you repeating to yourself over and over? And I have this phrase that I'll say, and it says some moms need to coach themselves, and we need to be coaching ourselves with the gospel. So what words do you need to evaluate in your life that are not aligning with the truth of the gospel? What words are you saying that are establishing what is your heart condition? And sometimes the words that are coming out of our mouth are not establishing a heart condition that is pointing us towards God and his sufficiency over our lives. It's pointing us towards grumbling and complaining. So Those are the three words that I have taken out of my vocabulary. It doesn't mean that I'm not honest, but it means that I view circumstances through a biblical perspective, and I don't view them as bad or negative or to be avoided, but I view them as things that God has a purpose to accomplish His work in my life. So I hope that that makes sense. And I hope that you can take this podcast and ask yourself, what words am I repeating that are creating new patterns in my mind? And maybe you need to replace some negative sayings in your mind with positive ones that point you towards Christ. Maybe you need to say, you know, God's power is made perfect through my weakness, or His grace is sufficient for me. Find a saying that will point you towards Jesus. You know, I love how Paul says, I'll boast all the more in my weakness because God's power is made perfect through my weakness. So find a phrase that you can dwell on. And I think that this one that I shared with you guys is a really good one, is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when you're coming up against something that feels hard, or you just want to say, this sucks, or it's just hard, say, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. And it will help rewire that brain pattern that you've established to say, no, we're not going to go down that path of complaining. I'm going to put biblical truth in here and rewire my brain biblically. So before I go, I just want to pray for you guys, because I know that this is something that is just all over the mommy network, because that's what moms do, right? We complain about our kids on Instagram. We whine about how hard being moms is. And so I know that this topic is something that a lot of us face as we talk with friends, as we talk about our babies, as we talk about our five-year-olds. It's so easy to just let the words fall out of our mouth. So I hope that this can give you that reminder to not be women that fall into those motherhood trends, but instead replace it with, I get to be a mom. I get to serve my children. I get to be the hands and feet of God, instead of saying, it's just hard. So let me pray for you guys. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you gave me parents that were really mindful of the words that came out of my mouth. Thank you, God, that by your grace that you have changed my perspectives on things like the word hard and circumstances, and how the words that come out of our minds are establishing patterns in our brains and in our hearts that tell us if we're trusting in you or if we're turning away. Help us to crucify any parts of our flesh that just want to hold on to that one area of our lives, and help us to submit every area of our lives to you, that we would praise and give thanks in every circumstance, because we know that that is your will over our lives. Please help any mom that is listening to this saying, like, God, I just struggle so bad with those little words. Help her to know that you can help her with this, and help her to find a friend that can be an accountability partner that she can go to saying, I am struggling with this, that she can establish maybe a three-word biblical positive statement to rewire those negative patterns. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I just want to thank you for listening to this podcast, and I hope that you guys will tune in again for next week's podcast. It's going to be such a good one, and I will see you guys next week. Bye, guys.